Floor in Atlantic City, Trump Plaza Hotel and Casino, Sunday afternoon, March the 27th, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time start. First round in the elimination for the World Wrestling Federation's heavyweight title. Obviously, Hulk Hogan and this man, Andre the Giant, have drawn buys of the first round, but Andre, you're going to meet Hulk in round number
two. You got it all, yeah, that's in round number two. But Jack Tunney, if you remember last year, I beat Hulk Hogan in 2 minutes. In November 26th, Thanksgiving, I win the Survivor Series. And on prime time in Indianapolis, I win the championship match again. That's three times, Jack Tunney. And I give the belt to Ted DiBiase, because that's what I want to do. I do anything I want with that belt. But Jack Tunney, I think you're full of BS.
You know, Andre the Giant.
Jack Tunney. Name, you better stay in Canada and stay in there for good. You got no business to do in USA.
I always said, Andre, you had a million...
No business.
Million.
This guy is the champion. Why did you come with a tournament for?
Ted DiBiase.
I win the tournament. I'm not going to win it. I'm going to give that to the...
It is incredible.
It is incredible the amount of bureaucracy in the World Wrestling Federation. You know, when you're a man like me, with the money that I have, you intimidate so many people, and when you intimidate people, then they're out to get you. And the World Wrestling Federation is out to get me. That belt belongs right here. It's bought and paid
for. Get it.
I said it could be done. I proved it could be done. And now this tournament, Hacksaw Duggan, first on the hit list, you better bring something other than a board.
I am terrified. I can hardly wait for WrestleMania 4 in Atlantic City, March 27th.
Baby, you're
Linda
in
McMahon
blow.
Coming in my front door?
What's, yeah.
What's that music?
That,
right?
It is.
Oh, Linda. So nice of you to...
Look at that pantsuit.
Take time off from your busy schedule.
Look at that pantsuit. You know it's
Washington,
Linda, dog.
Washington, D.C. being head of the small business committee is...
Whew. Wow, that really just...
Got an exclusive interview here this week. This
in.
Is a real treat.
Yeah. I'm sick of it because... It's a WrestleMania edition of Baby Oil and Blow.
Yeah, that was the one they repurposed as Linda McMahon's late 90s theme music. Because God forbid one goddamn McMahon doesn't become a, on-screen character on that TV show.
Yeah, except the youngest son, Bart McMahon. He never showed up.
Well, yeah.
Well, he was going to.
Keep him chained up in the attic, and they feed him a bucket of fish heads a week.
Fish heads. Yeah, but it's WrestleMania week in August.
I can't believe it.
I thought it was SummerSlam. No.
Finally got here.
It's WrestleMania week.
After months and months of all this build.
In 1988, damn it, because it's Baby Oil and Blow. With you as always, it's me, big time, Matt O. And you, sir.
That's you.
You can be, well, in memory of what we
R.I.P.
are going to get into. Well, they're not dead, but...
might as well be.
You can be Chico Santana to my Rick Martel.
Tijuana taco dealer. Ahoy, hoy, everybody.
Yep.
Put up those four fingers right now. This is WrestleMania 4 we're going to be talking about today.
It's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool to put your fingers up like the Four Horsemen. That's a wrestling thing. WrestleMania 4.
Nate Adams, that's your real name.
It's all tying together here. Maybe the biggest WrestleMania of all time.
Oh, I can hear now.
Except that the two that sandwiched it, the three and the five were bigger. But other than that, biggest of all time.
This one was the most Trumpiest of the three.
Oh, there was a lot of Trump going on. That's for damn sure.
Show some fucking respect to your world
banners,
leader, sir.
His face in the front row. Getting name dropped during Hulk Hogan promos.
Well, he is the Hogan of this new world order, and you're just poo-pooing the man. Shame on you.
Can't recall saying a goddamn thing bad about our president yet.
Just,
very happy that we get to talk about all this stuff that took place at Trump Gardens or whatever it's called.
Just don't act surprised at about 4:30 in the morning when you're in your underwear watching samurai movies on your couch, and Trump and I kick.
How did you know I do that?
Trump and I kick in your front door and beat your ass and then spray paint NWO on your back.
I like the idea of that because Trump's fat ass getting up and doing something himself.
I really like that idea.
Definitely not going to happen.
Yeah.
Halfway through it, you'd be shaking that fucking can of spray paint and he'd be yelling at you to go grab him a Diet Coke.
Yeah.
And then you'd be like, Trump, we're trying to do something here.
No, you know what? Yeah, no, you get to, you're going to be in this too.
I lost the thread.
I think it'd be better.
I need a Diet Coke.
I think it'd be better if the three of us, you, me, and Trump,
just go to your brother Davey Archeister's house.
Yeah.
And that makes a lot
Dave's
more
like,
sense.
I don't understand why this is happening. I voted for you.
Trump World Order, motherfucker.
I don't understand. I voted
for
you.
Yeah, but you didn't support the wall enough once we got into office.
Yeah. Take his shirt off, fellas. Hold him down. Get his shirt off. We're going to spray paint his back.
Better start sending in some more small donor donations.
Oh, man.
We got our eye on you.
I like this alternate reality. I think I'm just going
to
stay
there. Instead of, like, you know, black jeans and leather coats, though. We're going to have to wear, like, boxy, ill-fitting suits with really long ties. That's going to be our thing.
Yeah.
We're going to look pretty cool.
I'm trying to think if I had any of those Donald Trump collection ties when I was a kid.
I'm going to get one of those Hulk Hogan High Noon at Mega Mountain, like, hair rugs for sure.
Well, that'll be
top
nice.
Of my head's going to start looking real weird once this Trump World Order idea we just came up with takes off.
T-W-O. We're fresh off the heels of a SummerSlam in real life. You want to talk about that?
From what I understand,
did I just sum it all up with that burp?
I've got a little bit of a tradition where when these modern pro wrestling pay-per-views happen, I've got this. Everybody's got their little routine,
right?
They do, you know,
yeah.
Whether it's certain snacks you get, or
sure,
I don't know,
sure.
You go to a certain place and watch it.
Absolutely.
Mine is I don't watch the pay-per-view.
Huh.
I don't watch any of the TV leading up to the pay-per-view.
Oh.
And then an hour or two into the pay-per-view, as it starts going, you and my cousin start just texting me all the things that you hate about the pay-per-view as you're watching it.
Yeah.
And I'm usually just like, I have no context for what that means.
I don't understand why these guys are watching that.
I mean, I can go right into here.
Yeah, that's fine.
I got some text messages from my cousin yesterday.
You
I think
can hit
probably
us up with some
stuff like
I need somebody's ideas, you know.
Okay, yeah. So
we got a show to fill.
My favorite moment of SummerSlam so far. Got these while I walked the dog. It's some text messages that somebody else sent him that were #BeastFuel, #FeedTheBeast, #JimmyJohns, and I said to him, I don't know what any of this means.
Hmm.
And then he's like, "That's my wife making fun of Brock Lesnar. The show has been ZZZZ. He's like,
top.
He's sleeping.
ZZZ top.
And I'm like, you and Matt insist on watching these horrible WWE shows and then dragging me into it.
Yeah.
Why don't you respect yourselves? And he's like, yeah, it's true.
Why don't we respect you more? That's the question.
That makes a lot more sense.
Whoa.
I saw some chatter on the internet that the nerds were not fans of Ronda Rousey's new makeup.
The nerds.
They'd not think that Ronda Rousey looks good in her new makeup. I heard that for sure.
Just accentuated? There
we go. There's been accentuating circumstances.
It just showed off her scowl a little more.
Oh, a little Muppet face she does. Her one facial expression, the little poo-poo face.
She had a
little boo-boo lip.
Kind of
black
swan face paint.
Ooh,
which I like.
That sounds sexual.
I liked it.
It makes me think about that scene where Mila Kunis is like scissoring with Natalie Portman.
Makes me think of that scene where I was just touching myself in that dark theater for 2.5 hours. Was that a long? That was a long one, wasn't it?
Yeah, that wasn't Black Swan, though. That was, you went into Ice Age. It was playing
next
right.
door. That's right.
That's when the judge said you had to stop going to the movie theater.
You know, every time I hear Ray Romano's voice, it just does something to me.
Well, you and me both, man. Aw, Matt. We've got in common.
Aw, Matt, quit touching yourself. Aw, there's kids in the theater. Aw.
Like a funny little penguin in that one or something?
Oh, gosh. Aw. He's a woolly mammoth.
Okay. I never saw that one because, not enough minions in it for me.
Oh, hell yeah.
I'm
going to
go see something.
Yeah.
I want some fucking minions in that thing.
I'm all about the minions.
Oh, yeah. Fucking Oscars got Best picture with a guy, Fishman, fucking a lady. How many minions are in it?
Right.
None.
Good.
Oh, well, next year we'll probably have to add a new Oscar category.
For I tell you what.
Most popular movie, so we can get those minions in there and give those minions some Oscars.
Fishman fucks a lady.
Uh-huh.
Also erotically charged.
Yeah,
really enjoyed that.
Definitely. I like how that movie just like started in the first 5 minutes. Paddington's mom, full frontal, jerking off in the bathtub.
Right. Like, here's
Paddington, mom, no!
Here we go. If you're looking for that part where we go completely off segment and completely derail the show, here it is. And it's going to be something. It's important to me, and I have a feeling you think about this, too.
He literally just pulled out a soapbox, and he's standing up on it. Right? I thought
Trump
that was just a metaphor.
It's, you join the TWO, you get one, pal, all right?
Trump brand soap. It's the very best soap.
It's
believe
huge.
Me.
If you want to be clean, you got to get real clean. This is how you do it. So here's sometimes how I judge movies. I think back to a time before.
Dave
like,
Meltzer 7-star scale?
Even better.
Okay.
A time before like internet was readily available, and you could just like look at the worst things in the world on your phone from the privacy of anywhere or the lack of privacy of anywhere.
I remember those times. You had to do it in a dorm room.
Yeah.
And, at a desktop computer that was wired into a dorm wall.
Or like maybe
at Jim Bertram's dorm.
You had like a movie with a little tit in it or something. And it's like, hey, you know, no one's around. Got the house to myself, you know, home alone.
Going to watch some Mannequin 2 on the move.
I can make something happen in these 5 minutes if I stare at this 30-second scene hard enough. You know what I'm saying?
Squint my little eyes.
So sometimes when I watch current movies, I like to think to myself, like, what could like 13-year-old me have done with this? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And like a movie like Fishman Fucks a Lady. What was it? Shape of Water.
There you go.
I watched that being like, oh.
13-year-old me?
Yeah, we could have got a lot of work done.
Had a field day.
Yeah. Like you said, would have been spent in that opening scene.
That Mr. Skin website that tells you when the nudity happens in movies, if that just exists solely for time-traveling 13-year-olds from the early 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Because who else would need that information in 2018?
Bro, you can find out exactly when they get naked.
Yeah, it's got to be just time-traveling 13-year-olds from 1992. That website's bread and butter, probably.
Yeah, that's a really weird thing. Like, ooh, I need an exact time as opposed to just binging, like, Paddington Bear's mom nude.
Or just, like, searching, like, that girl who lives two doors down from me that I like's butthole. And then probably you're going
to
get a search result for that in, like, 2018.
Yeah.
Because everybody's butthole is on the internet.
Every time I do that, though, I'm like, two doors down or this, they always just bring up my three doors down playlist.
No, Siri! Siri,
no!
Keep it playing, though. Don't turn it off.
Georgie, no!
Thanks,
Siri. I have Georgie because I use that Bing search engine.
Oh, yeah,
I don't
use
Apple. He's slightly handicapped. He tries hard, though.
Maybe Georgie 2.0 is going to get rid of that extra chromosome they programmed in.
What's he got? He's got like a... He's got like a Asperger's or something.
He's on the spectrum. Yeah. He still gives me good results.
Kind of like a Rain Man.
Still gives me good results.
Yeah. Definitely going to be in this movie. 13 minutes, 7 seconds in. Oh, thank you, Georgie. You know where to find the naked ladies in the movies. But enough talk about the films and the Summer Slams.
Okay.
Let's talk about what we're here to talk about.
I forgot about it. Oh, WrestleMania 4.
Donald Trump presents.
Four fingers live
4.
From the Trump complex in Trumpville, New Jersey. It's WrestleMania 4. Your hosts, Jesse the Body Ventura and Gorilla Monsoon. Let's get this rundown here. This week, this rundown is coming at you. It's brought to you by Pearl Jam, the band playing live at Wrigley Field tonight. I was up in Wrigley yesterday, saw a lot of people doing a lot of work, get that thing ready.
Oh, you got to.
All the Pearl Jam merch stands were getting set up. There was a lot of buzz.
The Pearl Jam cometh.
A nice little pizza
Pearl
joint
Jam
that
cometh.
I like talking to these bartenders I'm kind of chummy with. They were trying to figure out how many kegs of beer they were going to order for the Pearl Jam show.
Which pizza place did you go to?
Coal Fire right there.
Really?
Yeah, there's a real nerdy girl who works the host that knows all about monster movies. She's my favorite.
I know. They're really worried about how many kegs of beer to get?
Yeah, they're doing the order. They got Pearl Jam, then they got Cubs games coming up after. You got to factor these things in.
Billboard numero uno. Oh, yeah. 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 Oh,
so Pearl Jam, man. What's your favorite Pearl Jam song? Not counting Better Man.
Okay,
of course, that's
right,
the top
okay,
one.
All right, yeah.
What are you going to say? I think maybe I'd go Yellow Ledbetter. Yeah, it's taking me off right now. It's just taking me off on a little journey. Oh, wow.
I do like
that
one.
I just grew a 1996 goatee as you were doing that. It just grew right in.
I might have to go with, what's that? I Got Id.
Oh, I'm not sure if I'm familiar with that one.
I Got
ID.
Is
that, is that off a Post Vitalogy album? Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I know what you're saying. I've definitely heard that one on the light rock station that they play at my dentist while getting my teeth cleaned. Like,
yeah,
no
weird.
Joke.
That's
weird. Instantly, like, you singing that takes me right to just being in that chair and just like, oh, looks like you've been keeping up with the flossing. Good work.
Yeah. It's like, that's a hard rocking tune. Why are you
very good
that?
Flosser. Very good flosser.
Oh, they got so many. You know, I like Nothing Man, too.
Oh, that one. It's like one of those people say, like, oh, that movie is just, like, so good. Like, something like, what's that fucking Darren Aronofsky movie where they do ass to ass and loses his arm?
Oh, yeah.
People are like, oh,
Requiem.
So good, but I can only watch it once, man. Like,
no,
you know,
no.
Like, I can, you know, no. Feel like Nothing Man, such a good song, but I can only listen to it, like, once a month. That thing's going to sap me, man. I'm going to feel totally sapped by the time I get to the end of that
Isn't
thing.
Isn't it something?
Uh-huh.
Could have been something.
Yeah. But Nothing Man.
But Nothing Man.
That's deep, Ogre. The Rundown, brought to you by Pearl Jam, live at the Wrigley Field. Going to be a big event. A lot of white people in cargo shorts, I'm sure. First match, the Invitational Battle Royal. Our participants, the Heart Foundation, the Young Stallions, Sika, Danny Davis, the Killer Bees, Bad News Brown, Sam Houston, the Rougeau Brothers, Ken Patera, Bunkhouse Buck, Junkyard Dog, the Bolsheviks, Hillbilly Jim, Harley Race, and George the Animal Steel.
Bunkhouse Buck? I thought that was Outlaw Ron Bess.
Could have been. I didn't hear what they said.
Yeah, that was Outlaw
I wrote it
Ron
down.
Bess.
Anyways, winner, Bad News and Brett form a little bit of a partnership, throw everybody out together, a couple of dastardly heels, and then Bad News double crosses Brett. After they're celebrating, Brett's a real dum-dum, apparently thinks like battle royals end when there's two guys left as long as your partners.
Hey, we're gonna shed a trophy.
Brett gets all fucking Brett upset, like, oh, he screwed me. It's like, no, you're in an every man for himself battle royal, Brett. Just like you were Vince McMahon's employee, so you lose the world title when he tells you to.
Oh, there's a bunch of bullshit, you know. I lost all respect for Bad News Brown that day.
It's what I wrote down right here. Brett proves what we all know.
Uh-huh.
He's a poor sport.
That's true. So he steals Bad News' beautiful, beautiful, probably Trump-funded Battle Royal winner trophy.
The trophy's huge.
Believe me.
Huge.
And he breaks it in the middle of the ring. He smashes his fucking trophy. What a jackass.
Not easily.
No, he tries
to work
to.
At
he
it.
He slams it down a few times, and then he tries to stomp it. And
you know, this is a lot harder than I thought it was going to be.
It didn't look that great once he was done with it, even though it wasn't broken.
It was cool when he threw the piece and hit that garbage can.
Yeah, real cool. Yeah. It was like when he spit at Vince McMahon after. Yeah.
Wonder what. How many of the pieces ricocheted off the garbage can?
I think it was
can,
cool, like after he smashed it and he threw that piece at the garbage can, and then he used his little finger to draw the letters NWA really big in the air, and then everybody on the not the internet
back then
the dirt sheet mail in.
Where do you go? Back of a
segments?
Comic book store. Where are people hanging out talking about?
Well,
this
I don't
stuff?
Know. You know, somebody was bitching somewhere back in 1988. Somebody was bitching somewhere. First round match of the WWF Championship Tournament. We got Hacksaw Jim Duggan versus the Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase. DiBiase wins after some Andre interference. Andre punches Duggan, and then DiBiase knees him in the fucking ribs, and then he gets
rolls
pinned.
Him up.
That's all it takes. Another first-round match, Dino Bravo versus The Rock Don Morocco. Bravo gets DQ'd for pulling the ref right in between him and Morocco, blatantly. Morocco knocks the ref down. Ref finally gets up and is like, you know, fuck you, Dino Bravo. You're DQ'd.
Get out of here with that, sir.
Another first round match. Greg the Hammer Valentine's in there versus Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. Valentine
Chop City.
Wins after reversing a high crossbody. He floats it over, then he yanks some tights and he gets that pin.
Smart.
Our next first round match, Macho Man Randy Savage in there versus the Natural Butch Reed. Macho and Liz are wearing blue. Savage wins with the elbow. Next first round match, One Man Gang versus Bam Bam Bigelow. Battle of the Big Men. We got a nice little finish where Bam Bam's hitting the ropes real hard. Slick pulls down that top rope. Bigelow crashes to the outside.
Yeah.
Can't get back in the ring in time. No. He gets counted out, man.
Looked good, though.
Looked real good. He took a big tumble.
He sure did.
Rick Rude versus Jake the Snake Roberts to fill out the rest of that first round. It's a time limit draw.
What?
Neither of them win. Jake still pulls out the snake, though, to keep those fans happy. Here's a match that's not part of that tournament, but it's got a big old blood feud behind it. Yeah. Hercules the Mighty versus Warrior Ultimate. Both men's shoulders are down in like sort of a pinning predicament.
Kinda.
But then Warrior, he's a smart guy. He shoots his up right at the last second. Herc was too dumb to do it. He gets out grappled. Warrior wins another one.
All that 1988 is teaching us about Warrior
mm-hmm.
is that he's mm-hmm. not as smart as you think I am.
And all these other
guys say
that he doesn't know how to wrestle. Jealous.
He looks good in 88.
Second round, Andre versus Hogan. Remember, they got that bye where they didn't have to compete in the first round. We get a stupid, double DQ finish. Both men get eliminated. Our next second round match, we got Ted DiBiase versus Don Morocco. DiBiase gets his ass kicked the whole match, then hits a random stun gun out of nowhere, gets a pin.
Yeah.
Randy Savage versus Greg the Hammer in our next second round match. Macho and Liz wearing pink. Savage rolls up Valentine during a figure four attempt, gets that pin, caught you slipping. Intercontinental title match is next. Honky Tonk Man versus Brother Brutai, Brutus Beefcake. Beefcake gets Honky in the sleeper. It's not looking so great for him. But, you know, Jimmy Hart knocks out the referee from behind with his megaphone. There's nobody to call the match because the ref's knocked out. Hijinks ensue. Jimmy Hart gets his hair cut. Peggy Sue splashes water on Honky Tonk Man and wakes him up.
Yeah.
I'm thinking there's some sort of big, you know, screw job about to come. But, you know, Brutus just gets announced as the winner by DQ. So, I don't know.
I guess
reviving him with the water thing wasn't really no point to it. I think you should have gave that one to Honky Booker, man. But yeah, Bruce Beefcake totally happy for his DQ win, even though he doesn't get the title. What a dum-dum.
Well, they had to splash water on him so he could wake up so they could get him out of the ring to save his hair.
Thank God they did that. His hair was coiffed within an inch of its life, and it looked perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Big six-man tag, Bobby the Brain Heenan and his Islanders in there versus the British Bulldogs and Coco Beware. Ends when an unconscious Heenan gets thrown on Coco and gets the pin.
I'm going to tell you right now, for powering through all of this after a full day of work and after a SummerSlam.
In one sitting.
This right here.
That would kill me.
This right here is where the Big O couldn't get his arm up that third time.
Oh, we got our weekly tap out.
I was done.
Matt started falling asleep during the Heenan match. What a shame. After the match, Heenan gets chased out of the arena by Matilda, who's gnawing on him a little bit.
Not as much
Bulldogs as they would have liked him to.
Beating that dog.
Really wanted to get more of a visual of that dog biting Heenan, but mostly it was just Dynamite Kid kicking that dog, trying to get him
really
to bite
weird.
Heenan. Third round.
I'm going to stick my thumb up his pooper. He's going to bite you.
I bet that happened. One Man Gang versus Randy Savage. It's our only third round match because we have all those weird double DQs and double countouts and buys and whatnot.
Yeah.
Macho and Liz are wearing black. One Man Gang gets disqualified for trying to use Slickster's cane.
I thought you said we already had all the disqualifications.
Another bullshit.
Wait,
finish.
Oh.
You heard that right. Tag team titles. Strike Force, our champions, versus Demolition, the challengers. Pinfall happens after Axe hits Martel with Fuji's cane and Smash gets the pin.
What?
We've got new champions.
What?
New tag team champions. Our finals to crown yet another new champion, the WWF World Heavyweight Champion, Randy Savage versus Ted DiBiase. This one's for all the marbles. Savage and Liz wearing white. Savage wins with the elbow after Hogan hits DiBiase with the chair like a motherfucking heel. That's it. That's the end of our rundown.
Yeah, and the end of our lives.
Now let's get into this double stuff 10 count where we 10 points. You got all 10?
No.
Yeah, it's just a five count. I was making everybody sweat there. We're just doing a five count, everybody.
We're doing a very special edition, the count out edition. We get a full
Don't
10.
Lose your lunches.
10 count. Okay, my number one is
you
already
weren't expecting
it.
A WrestleMania to be as boring as your average episode of World Championship Wrestling, were ya?
It was worse, Nate. It was all TNA finishes from start to finish.
Boy, was it.
After one or two of them, it was like, oh, yeah, I get it. You got this long-ass tournament that you're cramming into one pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
You got to come up with some ideas, this and
original.
That, you know?
All entertainers.
And, no, everything was a dumb, fluky finish. It was just garbage.
This is one of my points. Just all the garbage finishes made this...
Every match.
Pointless.
Every match.
Not entertaining and just bad to watch.
What match had a clean finish?
Okay,
The Battle Royal.
Probably Greg Valentine and Ricky Steamboat is maybe the only one I can think of.
He grabbed the trunks, though.
He did pull the tights. There's a little bit of cheating there. But at least it didn't involve, like, outside people and, like, ill-fucking-conceived-of rules
but
that aren't consistently
still,
enforced. And
still something dastardly happened
for
to
sure,
where, like, a
for
ref
sure.
didn't catch something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Everyone
the Battle
these.
Royal.
That's
Bad News won that square. Fair and square.
And you can't even
and that's
say
the one
that.
That's the one, the only one that somebody bitched about the finish.
And you can't even say that because that Jamoke George the Animal Steel spent the first third of it.
Yeah, that's true.
Just yanking people out from the outside of the ring like
so,
a dick.
I get it. You got too many matches for one pay-per-view. It was a bad idea. So you got to make all the matches super short. So you got to find ways for these matches to end super quick. Should have had the first two rounds of this, or at least the first round on TV leading up to it. Just do the semifinals and the finals. Don't have to get out of all these matches in so many ways. The Hogan versus Andre match, though, probably my biggest complaint with this, where Hogan gets a chair, hits Andre with the chair directly in front of the referee.
Right.
The referee sees it. Hogan should be disqualified. Andre should be going to the next round. Instead, the referee doesn't end the match because it's Hulk fucking Hogan.
Yeah, he's like,
and just
why'd you do that, Hulk?
All logic goes out the window whenever it's fucking Hogan's
Hulk,
booking involved.
Why'd you do that?
Andre then gets the chair, hits Hogan with it, and the ref's just like...
Doesn't hit him with it, throws it on top of his head, and it makes one of the coolest noises ever.
Hitting that skullet. So then the ref's just like, all right, double DQ. You both used the chair now. You're both disqualified. That's entrapment if you ask me, brother.
Yeah.
That's like that shit going on the South Side last week where they got that truck full of new sneakers and just left it open and then just started arresting people as they stole sneakers? Fuck that shit. You got bait Nikes, you're having Hogan hit people with steel chairs and then
did
just
really,
lay the steel chair down?
Did they really do that?
Yeah, they really did that. It was a big controversy in all the papers and shit.
Why did they do that?
Because there was one of the train companies down there was complaining that they're having a lot of people breaking into their train yard stealing stuff. So the cops were like, hold my beer, man. We'll just start rooting out all the thieves in this neighborhood. And then everybody was like, you know, it's kind of fucked up to go into an impoverished area and
offer free Nikes
to people who could probably really use that to better their day-to-day lives and then arrest them for it. And then the cops were like, oh, my bad. I guess we won't do that anymore.
But it still stands for today.
So, you know, they'll move over to the west side and do that for a while until the fucking press gets wind of it again and then...
TTTWO.
Whatever. Trump World Order. Just driving around in our Hummer limo full of Nikes. Full of bait Nikes.
That'd be cool. Who's going to be our Virgil?
Not Omarosa, I'll tell you that much. She went rogue. She went TWO Wolfpack.
Who saw that coming?
Okay, I'm going to say something good.
Okay.
After bitching about how every one of these matches had a stupid finish and only lasted 2 minutes and it was a bunch of garbage, I thought there was some good commentary on this show that was doing its best to make sense of all the fucking stupid, horrendous shit going on. First off, you got this Hogan and Andre bye into the second round, which is bullshit,
they're bye, all right.
Right off. And then they get disqualified, which then creates like another bye, or DiBiase goes all the way to the finals. That's a good little storyline just for DiBiase to be a heel. But in practice, it's confusing and really put a lot on the commentators to explain to people I was doing it. And I liked how they were selling it. I especially like Ventura selling that Hogan and Andre match, that even though they're in that second round, they're like the two biggest, toughest, strongest guys.
Yeah.
So once one of them beats the other one, they're still going to be so beat up from having to either fight Andre or having to fight Hogan that they're not going to be able to win in that third round. Yeah. They're already going to be done for. They're going to have all their fucking strength sapped. And I was like, hey, there's a good way to make some chicken salad out of chicken shit, Jesse Ventura. That's a decent point. And then I liked how they were talking about the time limits a lot. And, you know, the first round was a 15-minute time limit. Second round had 20-minute, et cetera. And they were really putting over that, ooh, it's going to be hard to get out of these first rounds. You're going to have to push the pace. Just, like, kind of selling why all these matches aren't as long as a normal match between two caliber guys you'd expect to be. It's because, ooh, they need to get it done within 15 minutes or they both get counted
you're
out.
You're going to have to come out hot.
So they're talking about you got to come out hot. It would have been, I don't know, if the ring work sort of backed up what they were saying on commentary a little bit more instead of just like 2 minutes of normal match and then bullshit DQ finish. I think that would have been a nice little storyline. But either way, rough job calling this piece of shit pay-per-view, and commentators, they were doing a good job.
Yeah. My first positive, kinda, is going to go to our first round matchup of Rick Rude and Jake the Snake Roberts.
Okay. That was a fun one.
Because it was a fun one.
Even
there
though
you go.
It had a bullshit double fucking time limit draw fucking, finish.
While we're at it with the time limit draw finish, and we've already talked about the bullshit finishes, it wasn't bad enough that there was bullshit finishes.
Mm-hmm.
To make matters worse, they did a bullshit job explaining the bullshit finishes. You had to wait like 5 minutes and be like, so what the fuck just happened?
Well, yeah, that's, you know, in true pro fucking
TNA fashion.
Well, I just commentators. They don't like knowing the finishes. They want to be able to, you know, react to things naturally. But when the finishes make no sense and like they're not caught on camera well enough,
right?
That's the double edged sword of that approach, where the audience doesn't know what happened. You don't know what happened either, so you just gotta be like, well, let's wait for them to tell us what the fuck that was supposed to be.
I'm fine with it, but just get the fucking ring announcer
hurried up there,
just be like, ladies and gentlemen, the referee has informed me that this match has ended on account of whatever. Don't wait like 10 minutes.
No.
Like, it takes that long for the ref to be like, I
felt like,
I guess.
Felt like I feel whenever our, like, something happens on a Sunday. Like, I don't know, there's some sort of, like, group activity going on or something. And, like, somehow I get roped into watching a football game with people. And then just all of the sport football is a bunch of, like, refs and coaches and players standing around on the sidelines, like, looking around in different directions, arguing about what the rules are or what really happened. This is Vince going for an NFL approach here at WrestleMania 4. We're going to do a lot of standing around with our hands on our hips, looking around in the distance.
You're saying this was early seeds of XFL right here?
This is where the idea. The plan was starting to form.
Trump, did Trump still have the AFL going at this point, or did he give that up by then?
Trump was involved in football? I didn't even know that.
Yeah, he had the AFL, man.
That guy's had his fingers in a lot of failed businesses over the years.
Well, there's one he didn't fail, pal.
No. The United States?
No, the casinos are still going
strong. Oh, no, those all failed.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
My match that I liked, that I did not hate in that first round, was the Greg the Hammer Valentine-Ricky Steamboat match. Because, goddamn, Ricky Steamboat was chopping the shit out of Valentine through all of it. These guys were snug. They were
stiff.
Chop
City.
All the shit looked really good. And I liked the finish because it told a nice little story to where, you know, this is maybe the one match where it was working into that commentary where they're talking about pushing that pace.
Yeah.
Steamboat was doing his normal stuff, but then, like, he's starting to look more and more desperate, and he was really just like, going to the high flying, going to shit, trying to get that pin, and it all ended when he flew too close to the sun, fucking Icarus style, went up for a big flying crossbody, and it was just too much. Greg Valentine was able to reverse it because he was coming in too hot, and it was like Ricky Steamboat. You know, you did it to yourself, man. You should have slowed down a little bit. You should have waited for your opponent to make a mistake, and then you should strike.
I fucking blew it. I lose my touch.
He did have a touch to lose. He's not a pagoda. But yeah, that was maybe the one match that I watched on this whole show where I was like, hey, there's some storytelling going on here. I can see the logic in what they're doing. And then we got a real finish. I don't even mind the pulling of the tights because I don't think that's a bullshit finish. I just think that's how a heel finishes a match.
That's true. But either way, like I'm saying, there's some kind of hijinks.
Yeah, there was no just somebody guy got pins pinned. A guy with his finish at any point on this entire fucking card.
No. And yet, of course, if any assholes are going to get some kind of storyline over in the match, it's going to be these two. I mean,
mean old man and a master.
Greg Valentine, right, he's been doing it for goddamn forever. And then, you know, Ricky.
Macho versus Butch Reed, that first round match. He just pinned him with the elbow. Was there anything going on with the manager
there?
Anything going on with the manager there?
I got to go back and look at that.
I'm just brainstorming here.
Yeah.
I think that might have just ended with a finish.
No, it didn't end in a finish.
Are you sure?
Somebody got shitty with somebody and somebody did something with somewhere.
Okay.
Somebody. Well, I can't even find that match now. I don't think it even happened.
I did my...
toss from top
row. My one note that I have from that match is Butch Reed's making noises like Beethoven the dog while wrestling.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, he was just doing his, like, growling and howling the whole time. It sounded weird.
Well, I'm sure Slickster
cheated
at some point.
Maybe tried to.
Yeah,
I think maybe when Macho was on the top rope, he tried to grab his leg or something and Macho kicked him off. Either way, there was no successful interference in that one.
Yeah, we'll call that a quote-unquote clean
finish. We got a victory! All right!
You know, agreed. Yeah. Whatever. I got another thing I liked in this pay-per-view.
Good. We're not sticking to the negative. I like that. We're keeping this positive.
Well, I mostly went positive. I mean, we got the negative out of the way, and it was just the screwy finishes. It just bogged everything down. If you have a problem with it, anything in this pay-per-view, it probably has to do with something relating to the finish. So, I tried to look for the positives here. And my positive that I want to go to, I guess this is my three, Honky versus Beefer.
Honky versus Beefer. A little bit of that patented Beefcake mistiming and clumsiness. He's always like moving a little too fast or like a step ahead or like, I don't know.
No, I'm really good at wrestling, guys. Watch me do this. Oh, God.
I'm constantly watching his opponent like happen to adjust
Brutus,
to his weird movements.
Brutus, stop. Stop.
He's like the anti-Ric Flair where Ric Flair just looks like he's waltzing out there. This guy is just like spazzed out all the time.
He's
not
the,
a terrible match, though.
He's the, what's that? Weird dance the kids do where it's all disjointed and
Hi, my name is Jean. I'm a professionally trained dancer, and in this video I'm going to be showing you how to do the Macarena. The Macarena is mainly made up of lots of hand movements, and then you throw in a bit of hip and a bit of a wiggle and a big hip movement at the end.
I don't know. I'm so fucking out of touch with whatever
the kids
are doing.
I don't know. I don't think I've seen any of my kids that work for me at least doing any dances.
It was some kind of dirty South dancing, crunking or whatever, like where they all would like weird herky jerky shit.
They all getting crunk nasty.
Yeah.
You feel me? You feel me?
Brutus, he was the Ric Flair of that. If that makes sense. Either way.
I apologize to Ric Flair for you getting thrown into that metaphor at all.
If Hulk Hogan wasn't attached to what was going on, then it didn't get as much heat as this thing did right here.
Oh, man.
Crowd was ready for this one, dog.
Yeah, that's because of fucking Honky Tonk Man.
Honky
being
Tonk
such
Man.
A good heel.
Kills it,
cuts
dude.
Cuts such a good promo. And just like there's something so hateable about it. And he's... the perfect package with Jimmy Hart.
And it's
I've said it before, Jimmy Hart, watching this 80s shit modernize, I think he's my favorite manager.
He might
be. And I think my favorite package is Jimmy and Honky. I think they go together best.
Again, like, even as a kid, I understood that the brain was something special, you know? There's just something there.
Ain't nobody with a sharp wit in wrestling like Bobby Heenan.
Right.
Most people get into wrestling, bunch of dum-dums.
Yeah. But even as a kid, and I always liked the bad guys, but even as a kid, I was like, I fucking hate that Honky Tonk guy. Why the fuck is he dressed up like Elvis?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why? I don't understand. And I go back and I watch the shit now. This dude was killing it, man.
Real good. And that, like we talked about before with the Beefcake thing. That cut in the hair spot is just so over.
So fucking
over.
This 80s
crowd can't believe it when they see hair actually being cut. They're acting like they're at a goddamn magic show or something. And when he started really cutting Jimmy Hart's hair and pulling it up like he does and sprinkling it in the air to show him I'm really cutting their hair, that place was unglued, man.
They were going nuts, dude.
I saw Trump spill Diet Coke all over somebody in the second row. That guy was flipping
out. He's really cutting his hair. Look, lift your head up. He's cutting his hair.
He dropped his platter of KFC. He was eating with a knife and fork all over the floor. They had to bring him another one. It was crazy.
Cool. I forgot that the beefer used to bring out that bag of scissors, too.
Oh, yeah. He's got to have his hair cutting equipment.
Yeah. So that was cool. And they were hot for it, man.
How about
they
that?
Wanted it.
That weird girl who looked like she was dressed up like a doll and like something out of a John Waters movie. He was holding that sign that said "Coward of the County" with the honky tonk on it.
Oh yeah,
they,
no.
They kept the camera.
I wrote
on
that down.
For like
I wanted
a good
to talk
5 seconds.
Coward of the
like,
County. That wasn't a girl. That was like a 70-year-old woman.
I think it was like a 17-year-old girl
dressed
up like some sort of like doll from the 1800s.
That was some like weird old woman that like didn't realize that she should have been watching NWA WCW shows.
I don't know. There was so much makeup going on there. Like, I didn't know if the clothes were a costume or real clothes or what I was looking at.
She had like old lady blue teeth.
Yeah, but there might have been some mental problems going there though.
Yeah, it was Atlantic City.
I don't know. It was super weird, though, and they kept the camera on her a lot, and I liked her fucking sign. It was very Southern wrestling. She was very Southern wrestling. She really made the show for me, because one of my complaints was, in such a big stadium, it was so many people there, it's real hard to pick individual people out of the crowd and make fun of them for the weird stuff they got going on. As I was watching this, it was just like, match, 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 match. I was just like, what am I going to talk about? I can't see any of the weirdos in the crowd. There's no, like, dumb skits that are really falling on their face. I guess except for when they tried to get Vanna White to do comedy over and over again. That was like pulling teeth.
Oh, she was skinny, coked out,
bad
looking.
Yeah, she really was. You posted that picture on Instagram
from
like the early 80s a few weeks ago.
Price is Right.
Like,
and
she was young and
meats.
Looking good. And then late 80s, she's got like that Texas housewife hair.
Oof.
And just like doesn't have that young chub on her anymore.
No.
And it's kind of like
sickening.
Now I get why I was never really into Vanna White as a kid, because when I was later on and started thinking about girls, she didn't look very good.
That's fair. Ugh.
Give me a young Vanna White any day.
Any day.
That's true of all girls for that matter.
Yeah.
Once you hit 30, get out of here.
NC. Okay. No comment. This is airing on a Thursday especially, no comment.
Okay.
But yeah, the coward, now that you mentioned it, like maybe she was 70, maybe she was mentally ill.
I think she was mentally
ill. Because that handwriting was either
scribbly
old lady handwriting, or it was like, you know, Rain Man handwriting.
Which county? Does she think that he's from Atlantic City?
I'm not sure. Hazard County, maybe?
Does she live where he lives in Tennessee? Or does she make the trek?
There's one other person I noticed in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
This magical evening. I forget who she ran out during, but she was in like a Hogan tank top and she was sitting kind of close to where the entrance aisles were.
Sure.
But like not that close to where like you saw her like run to like jump over people and like get to wrestlers. And I didn't know if she was like teenage excitable or just like early 20s wasted at a wrestling show wearing a Hulk Hogan tank top.
I'm going to hope.
And I'm thinking it's the latter.
I'm going to hope like teenage wasted at a wrestling show.
Could have been that.
Yeah.
Definitely could have been that. Oh, this was Atlantic City.
1988.
This was Atlantic
City. You telling me there wasn't a bunch of drunk teenagers at this thing?
She definitely could have been 16, 17 wasted at WrestleMania 4. But I'm going to try and get a still shot of her. I'm going to definitely get a still shot of her.
Try to dox her.
Coward of County.
Somebody out there. Find out who she is. Get us her phone number.
Absolutely.
That take
was
her out for a steak.
Three. You got a three. Did you talk about a three?
Yeah, my three was in there. So I'm going to move on to my four.
What's that?
Which is my appreciation for Ted DiBiase's performance throughout this tournament and the way in which he didn't get any offense in any of his matches.
No.
And just played the total chicken shit. Just like heel who pulls it out at the end, just selling his ass off, bumping his ass off, so that when he was in there against Macho and it looked like he was going to beat Macho, the fans would be extra mad because he didn't do anything to deserve this.
Nope.
He didn't beat anybody solidly. He got his ass kicked the whole time. They think he's not tough enough to be champion, and they're just so mad that he's going to be champion. These people were ready to riot if Macho didn't win, and a lot of it was because DiBiase just bumped his ass off and begged his ass off and looked like a classic wrestling heel throughout the whole thing. At no point was this guy doing anything to be cool, to do anything to get the fans on his side. And that would have been real easy with a millionaire prick character.
Yeah.
It'd be real easy for anybody else to go in there and just try to make that cool. And especially in like 1980s when everybody is snorting coke and wearing polo shirts and being yuppies. Like, would have been real easy to go in there and use that gimmick to be one of those cool fucking heels. Yeah. Not DiBiase, man.
That's what the Horseman was.
Despicable. That's exactly what the Horseman was.
Yeah.
And you know, I love it. It's great, but DiBiase, he took it a step further, man. Classic heel
underhand
shit.
Underhand despicable. I forgot about how great that fucking Million Dollar Man fist drop was.
Oh, yeah. Just right off the second rope there.
Not even. Right to the noggin. Even when he just do it, like, standing
just over
up,
his just, shoulder and do that, just, like, fallen tree type move.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like watching so that guy that. Work.
He also did a really cool thing where he went up to the second rope and he was just going to fall backwards blindly and drop an elbow.
Ooh.
Which was like, that's a really cool move.
That's some lucha shit right there.
Like, he just got on the second
modern
rope.
Modern day lucha shit. Like, Ted DiBiase pulling it off.
Gave the fans like a look like, hey, look how fucking great
like,
I am.
I'm such a prick.
And
you hate me.
Went backwards and the guy wasn't there. And I was like, that's really good shit. You could get that over now.
I don't know. This would have been completely unwatchable if it wasn't for a couple guys. One of those is Ted DiBiase. Yep. You saved WrestleMania 4 from being a complete disaster.
I want to talk with my number 4 about Demolition Strikeforce.
Okay.
Demolition come out.
I liked that match.
They look badass.
I wouldn't have minded the finish if it was on any other card that
Correct.
Didn't already have
Correct.
A million finishes that were exactly like this, including a finish involving the manager's cane in the match directly before this.
Sure.
Two matches in a row with the manager's cane being the end.
Sure.
Fuck that.
Smash starts out the match, and he just comes out with like 45 seconds of clubbing.
You want to dance?
Yes.
All right. Take it easy.
Steve, she said yes.
What?
Hotties want to shake it. Come on.
And pound and pound.
Adult males
Demolition style.
Are losing their shit. Like, there is just a loud swell of adult males that are like, hell yeah, look at this painted up weirdo go.
That was my response the first time I saw Demolition as a non-adult male. So it makes sense to me. Who are you going to cheer for? The little Teen Tiger Beat models in the white trunks or the fucking dudes in studs and paint who come out beating the shit out of people.
And it was a double-edged sword, this match. Because you got Demolition out there, and you're like, man, here's the start of something.
Mm-hmm.
You're starting to see something, you know. And especially coming from watching NWA WCW 1 week, where all their tag teams look poised to be the best.
Every single one.
Because they're all just beating jobbers week after week.
Over and over.
For whatever reason, the WWF tag teams, even everybody always clamors like, oh, they got to go back to like when tag teams mattered and they had tag teams. Mm-hmm. They're tag, even in fucking 88, their tag roster looked like shit. None of them looked legit.
I mean, you got the Hearts who look legit.
Yeah.
You got the Bulldogs are legit, but at this point, Dynamite's having a hard time moving, so they're not doing as much with them. You got Demolition, who's just coming on and looking legit. And Strikeforce, they pushed up real quick as just, I think, a placeholder. I never bought Strikeforce as the tag champs.
They got a handful that are legit,
so
but
I
they
think
keep having,
right,
like,
there, Demolition, the Hearts, and, you know, the Bulldogs still. Those are my three.
But you can tell,
it's a,
like,
solid three.
You can tell, though, they've kind of moved on from the Heart Foundation, or at least at this,
they're looking
at
more
this specific
stuff,
point.
More stuff, you're getting,
you know,
these big pay per views. There's a lot of Brett and Battle Royals for
right.
some reason. Brett's in a lot of Battle
right,
Royals.
Right here in 1988, I don't know if it's because Anvil's getting in trouble with Coke and they're starting
that's
to realize.
Definitely going on.
Well,
there was never a point where that was not going on.
We're
going
to be pushing Brett more as a singles guy, this, that, whatever. But you can tell there's a real changing of the guard going on right now in their tag division. And this match starts off, and you're seeing, like, we're about to see something here. Like, here's going to be the team, like, for the next couple years.
The team of the 90s.
Which was what it was. I mean, they go
this
on
is
their...
the beginning of their three-peat
right.
run.
Exactly, but...
That was a big deal back then, winning the titles three times.
I just don't like how the match finished, man. I figured, I don't know, they should have just gone over
just had
strong.
Them fucking squash Strikeforce
yeah.
because Strikeforce is a bitch.
Destroy them, right.
Your tag teams all kind of look halfway illegitimate anyway,
right.
so just put this one team over
yeah.
as something unstoppable.
Make this a
I
real thing.
I agree with that.
Thing.
I was having those same thoughts during the match.
Make this a real thing. Just opportunity
you really
missed
just
to
get
me,
these
you know?
Guys over as killers.
You didn't need
a
to
la
cheat.
The Road Warriors. Yeah. Just have them destroy people.
Yeah. I don't know if they were too worried. Like,
no, Strikeforce was incredibly like over, though. They had them coming out to fucking legit music. A
yeah.
lot of screaming going on. But yeah.
The music was pretty cool.
Going forward, they don't come back. They break up, they start feuding, you know, there's not really any big plans for them in the future. So yeah, I think
no.
it would have been better to just have Demolition kill them
just
rather
come
than
out and just
do that bullshit
them.
Fuji and the Cane.
They didn't
I
need
like
it.
That sushi joke that Bob Uecker made to Mr.
No, never eat sushi either.
Yeah, it wasn't a joke, it was just, I saw an Asian man, so I said that I don't eat sushi. And in 1988, that was a joke.
That
sushi's
counts as a
so
joke.
Gross. How do Asian people eat sushi? Are you kidding me?
Man, I'm hungry.
What, a buck for a sliver of raw fish?
It's sushi.
Sushi? Where I'm from, we call that stuff bait.
Chop it, choppy, yo pee-pee.
No, that was 10 years later, man.
Oh, my mistake.
That wasn't Bob Uecker who said that.
You got a four?
That was my four, my last one. I'm on my five.
Okay.
Is
it the final match?
It's just, I thought they did a really good job coronating Randy Savage. I really liked how he came out and fought all the way through the tournament. He's the only guy that fought all the way through the tournament.
Sure.
Him and Liz, class fucking acts, coming out with new entrance gear every single match,
every
color
single
coordinated.
One.
They did the whole thing where they had Robin Leach come out with the fucking...
Robin Leach!
The new beautiful belt on a pillow.
This is the Winged Eagle.
Well, they played some weird piano music that sounded yeah. like it should have been from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, and all the fans just reaching out trying to touch the belt like they were little peasants trying to just brush greatness. Like,
why didn't one of them try to take it?
Yeah,
that's
what
I
was
thinking.
They were getting
the
their hands
time.
On it pretty well. But
you
I
just grab it.
I think they did a really good job of putting over the championship as something super important and putting Randy over throughout the night as just like a huge star, a cut above everyone else around him.
Yeah.
And if there's one thing this was successful at, it was just legit being like, Randy Savage is a main eventer, y'all. And I think he was crowned well. He was cemented well as now I'm a main eventer.
It's funny, I was watching this, and like I said, I watched that bullshit SummerSlam last night.
That's your mistake.
What's everybody's big complaint about that product right now?
Past the Roman Reigns thing
no,
or just
no, that's
Roman
it.
Reigns
yeah.
thing? Okay.
Vince wants you to love Roman Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
No one wants to love Roman
yeah.
Reigns. And then I'm watching this, and these people are fucking dying for anything Hulk Hogan.
That's true. They do love them some fucking Hulkster.
And instead of being like stubborn and being like, no, Macho Man is who you cheer for.
Mm-hmm.
Vince is like, fuck yeah, here comes Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
This is what you people want. This is what you paid your tickets
like,
for.
Even when it's Hogan's going away to like make some movies. So like we
yeah.
got to put it on somebody else. Hogan's still going to be out there He's right. still taking 20 minutes to pose. He's still going to be there at the end of the pay-per-view event just to make sure like people aren't like, well, why the fuck wasn't Hogan at the end of the pay-per-view? Because like it or not, that is what people wanted in 1988, right. and you could see it. They were still all about the Hulkster.
And like I know like Vince's argument these days is like, well, I tell the people what they want. I'm the one that makes this. I made it, you know, I made them want Hulk Hogan. And it's like, no, Vince.
Vince is pretty crazy.
Vince, sometimes people just want what they want.
Ryan's pretty fucking crazy. It's what Woody Allen said when he married Sun Yi. The heart wants what it wants.
Don't get me started.
Vince, think about Woody and Sun Yi next time you're there in the booking committee.
Lie down in your tummy and play with your metal train. Yeah. Don't be too loud about it, though.
We should maybe get
Tickle
Woody
time.
To,
tummy
Woody
time.
To call up Vince.
We play tummy time.
Oh, God.
I don't want to see
putting a lot of weird
one.
Images in my head.
Yeah, well, I'm just quoting your guy, Woody Allen.
My guy?
Yeah, that's how Davey R. Scheister would paint it. He thinks you're a real weird Woody Allen loving weirdo.
I hate Woody Allen.
Nah, not the way Davey R.
Shit
Scheister tells
Woody
it.
Woody Allen my entire life.
Nah, not the way Davey R.
Scheister
sees it.
I think his movies are boring and dumb.
Sounds like you never saw Woody Allen's hit film Double Impact.
Wait, he made Double Impact?
Yeah, he directed that.
I like that one a lot then. Yeah. Two Van Dammes? Yeah. That was a great idea.
Take it back.
Oh, it still hurts.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Okay. Maybe you should relax now. Okay. Slowly close your legs. Ooh, beautiful. Doing well.
You know, stretching is so important. For example, because of my big legs and karate, I can do the splits no problem. Back and forth, back and forth. Feels good.
But either way, Mr. Macho Man wins the title, and then Hogan won't get out of the fucking ring.
Very true. That is the one thing that didn't go so well when it comes to making Macho Man the new main eventer, is that Hogan was there basically elbowing him out of the shot the entire time.
But at first, like, I'm thinking, like, man, like, Hogan, get out of the fucking ring, you know, like, you're in the way, this, that, whatever, blah, blah. But then as it was ending on the WWE Network, it's like, do you want to watch WrestleMania 5?
Coming up next, and WrestleMania 5.
Mega Powers
Hogan
implode.
Hogan versus Macho. So, yeah. It was working very well to set up a year-long storyline where Macho is just like, I'm the guy. Why is Hogan still around?
Yeah.
Why is
Hogan
starting to get annoyed
with
Hogan?
Take a fucking walk, bro. Yeah.
Seems like Hogan's trying to steal the Macho Man's spotlight.
And it just plays into that macho paranoia.
I think just like easily, so, there's no question in my mind, Macho Man winning the title at WrestleMania 4 all the way through to Macho versus Hogan at WrestleMania 5.
Yeah.
The greatest storyline the WWF has ever told.
Yeah.
The most long-term storyline they've ever told. The most just like thought out and actually organized thing they've ever fucking did. And it's just worlds above anything they fucking pull out these days.
Sure.
Worlds above where, goddamn, they don't know what they're doing one night to the next. Like, as bad as that Vince Russo era in, like, 1998, but, like, minus all the entertaining shit happening. It's just, like, everything's boring and generic.
Like the Brawl for All.
But also, we have no plan.
Oh.
Yeah, the Brawl for All was pretty cool.
Brawl for All was pretty cool.
So, yeah, the greatest storyline in WWF history, starting right here. Mega Powers joining up and then breaking apart and then exploding at WrestleMania 5. Doesn't get any better.
Second greatest storyline, Brawl for All.
Yeah. So if you look at it like that, WrestleMania 4 sucked, but it was just the beginning. It wasn't an
end. Yeah.
This is the first part of the story.
But, like, we can say it now because it's 2018 and we've fucking lived it all a million times by now.
Mm-hmm.
But, like,
just as a show to sit through, though.
Yeah.
This is fucking just insufferable.
Like, we're 30s. We know enough about wrestling.
Ish.
And what if we watched this shit, like, at this age when it happened live? Would we be like, the fuck?
I think probably I would be not watching it and just receiving landline phone calls from you and Jared telling me about how bad it was.
Yeah, we'd probably be all about, like, cocaine portfolios.
Yeah,
and big-haired women.
Definitely have a dusty
upstairs
mustache.
Upstairs and downstairs.
That's for sure.
Big-haired women.
Oh, those were the days.
Those were the days. Well, from the sounds of it, you and I are going to go build an ark.
Yeah, there's a lot of rain.
And, you know, find somebody to pay us money so we can
Let's
talk about
break.
More shit when we come back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Dear McDonald's, letters are my life. So believe me, the letters McD, L, and T don't do your scrumptious burger justice. It's not just lettuce and tomato. It's the works. Come on. Spell it out. Love, Vanna White.
Whatever you say, Vanna. So call it the hot side hot, cool side cool, every delicious thing you could want on a hamburger, hamburger. Or just call it McDLT, the one with the works.
It started out as a party, but turned into a case of the missing case. Groovy shindig. Hey, would you turn out the lights?
Oh, Mickey!
It's okay, doll.
No, it's not. There's a case of Miller Lite missing.
Oh. Who took it?
Somebody in this room.
Rodney!
Hey, guys, take it easy, will you?
Why'd you do it, Rodney? Cause light tastes great?
Yeah!
Or cause light's less filled?
Yeah!
I didn't do it. Well, I'm not even Rodney.
You! I thought it was a costume party. Great mask, huh?
But if he didn't do it, who did?
Figure out who took that case.
Oh, Mickey, you did!
Not exactly.
Hiya, doll!
Gotcha.
Well, I'm glad we didn't go dancing.
It's no mystery that there's only one light beer, Miller Lite.
Baby oil and blow, just baby oil and blow. It's like singing in the rain. But just
oh, because it was raining real bad.
Blow,
you know, it took a couple minutes to wait out all that extreme rain pounding on the roof. Like, it seems like it's already...
kind of like it only took a couple minutes to wait out that extreme championship wrestling before they died out.
Yeah. You attacking ECW for out of nowhere.
I think it's just because of all of that something to wrestle with as well show that I watched.
And okay.
Like, it's clear,
catching up with the Bruce Pritchard.
Pritchard doesn't care much for
the WWE Network. The hardcore wrestling, definitely not. Definitely not.
No, he doesn't like to give them their due.
He also likes to talk about all the horrible shit that WWF did in the early 90s, as if it was a good idea, and he totally stands by it. So, you know, grain of salt with that guy. I like watching him squirm when he's confronted with stuff that's just like, what is this? Like, this is fucking total. And he's just like, no, this is a good idea. Good. Vince came up with it, and it's the way to go.
Hell yeah.
He's gonna go to his grave, I think, just defending that company, even though they fired him a few times. Weird.
Probably more times in the future.
Guess if Vince McMahon made me rich, maybe I'd talk good about him too, though.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Rich or just living well.
Probably rich. Fucking worked there all through the Hogan years, all through the fucking Stone Cold
That's
years.
True.
Top of the office, all that time. I gotta imagine that fucker is living in a sweet little mansion.
Brother love!
He's living in one of those white people Mick mansions, but even more so because it was paid for by Vince McMahon.
Elevator or no elevator?
Got a kind of a chunk butt. I can't imagine him going up too many stairs, up and down too many stairs. At least he's got one of those like little lifts where you could send food upstairs.
Oh,
whatever
sure.
One of those things are.
Dumb waiter.
Yeah, dumb waiter. Nice little plate of like some cookies and some tea for the morning or something. I need to get one of those, and I don't even have a second story
in
my house.
So just one that runs.
I just want
left
somebody,
to right.
Yeah, something that could a little conveyor. I want like like one of those sushi bar things where like you can just. They go around on the circle and you pick what you want. I just want one of those going through my entire house, but with snacks.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, I just pluck a snack off that, off the line and just be like, oh, yeah.
You got, as I'm looking at it, you got this midsection right here.
Mm-hmm.
And we can loop it to where it goes back behind the TV and then just runs along the walls there.
Oh, yeah.
So then basically.
That'll be up to code.
You don't got to go too far out of your room. You can pretty much just stand by the doorway and just be like, oh, where's that conveyor belt?
Yep. Where's that Doritos Loco taco? I know I had one of those on there.
Tell you right now, I put down four of those bad boys today for lunch.
God damn, that's a solid lunch right there.
I was hungry today, man.
Oof, did it up.
Did
I had two tacos at the Pepe's Tacos.
That's unfortunate.
I got drugged there by, the Penny and the Jeff, and I was like, I'm on a cut, people. I can't be going out for tacos and beer with you. And they're like, hey, we got some stuff to talk about. Come to this Pepe's Tacos. And I was like, all right, man.
They like the Pepe's Tacos?
Only did two tacos, though. I got through it without destroying my calorie count for the day.
Ugh. Pepe's is so bad.
As far as local Mexican joints go, it's pretty standard, I think.
I'd rather eat Taco Bell.
It's no Taco Bell, that's for damn sure.
Either way, we're not here to talk about, dinner dates at the Pepe's. We're here to talk about nice dinner dates.
I'm picturing myself in this scenario we've cooked up somewhere classy.
Oh, like, hell yeah.
This is maybe like somebody a playing a piano, maybe like some dim lighting, a candle on the table.
Yeah.
That's what I'm picturing right here.
A sizzler.
Gonna get up. That's definitely gonna throw me off my cut. If I got a full salad bar in front of me, a full sizzler salad bar.
Don't go for the salad bar. That's a trap, man.
How so?
You got unlimited meats. You go for the meats.
You don't have unlimited meats at Sizzler. You can order a steak. And I think salad bar might come with it. It doesn't matter. There's no way to lose at Sizzler. That's why it's so great. I'm going to have a slice of pizza. I'm going to have some dino chicken nuggets. I'm going to have some of this mac and cheese. And then, I got a ribeye steak coming after this?
Yeah.
Perfect. It's all for the low price of like $6.99 or something.
I'm taking you to that Fogo.
I'm hitting that dessert bar.
We're going to go all meat, no green.
Oh, I don't do any greens as a life choice. I don't think you need to come up with that for a trip to a Brazilian steakhouse.
Will you do that with me?
Yeah.
Where we won't eat anything unless it's a meat?
But I legitimately would have probably done that going there even if that wasn't the plan.
I don't know why I've never gone to a Brazilian steakhouse with you.
What kind of sides they got going on there where you're eating?
You don't get
what
sides.
What I thought. I thought you were just pounding meat the whole time.
Well, you can get like, they got like these... some potatoes and these plantain things or whatever.
That sounds like it might be delightful.
Don't fall for that, though. Don't eat those.
Okay, I'm not going to.
You got to go all meat with me. It's my dream.
I do like with my meats, like a nice mashed potato.
Yeah,
like,
they bring you around some kind
that's
of potato.
Great.
And
but
Maria's
going to
try
me,
and
like,
talk it up to you.
Yeah, people are like, eat the side salad or whatever.
I'll let
I'm
you,
like, get the fuck out of here with your side salad.
I will let you try it because you like potatoes.
No, I don't need to try it.
No, you don't want?
No.
Damn, you doing it? We all in,
yeah,
bro?
Definitely.
We all in?
I need that sodium. I need those carbs. Get that shit out of here.
It's always been my dream, but I always get guilted into it because like everybody else is like, what? Get the salad. Oh, I'm going to eat this.
That's
like,
why everybody
that's not what we're here
is
for.
So fat in this country because they won't just like eat a hunk of meat. They're all like, well, you got to have a full meal with all these sides and you got to do this before and this after it. And it's like,
until I'm done eating
all
meat.
The shit that you just ate as your quote unquote full meal, like if you got to be an adult, need a full meal, is my entire day's worth of food. Like that's like 2,000 calories you just fucking ate on your plate because you think it's weird not to have like three sides and an entree and a fucking salad before it and like two beers with it. Come on, people. You're all fat as fuck.
Like
just eat like some meat and then, you know, be done with it.
Yeah.
All the rest of your calories should go to whiskey.
So...
oh, yeah, we forgot
now
to explain
that we've told
the premise.
You how to eat dinner.
We're sticking it in with WrestleMania themed here. WrestleMania, known for its celebrity guests, Matt. Right there from the very beginning.
Oh, the biggest celebrities.
It's just all the celebrities want to show up and be at WrestleMania. So I was like, there's been a lot of them. It'd be fun to get some of them together. What if you're having like a fun dream dinner party where you can invite any celebrity guest from WrestleMania? What are your three fucking celebrities you're inviting over to nosh with at the Brazilian Steakhouse? All meats, no greens.
All meats, no greens. There's.
I'm going to get a shirt that says that.
I figure this one's got to be on your list because A, he's going to bring meats.
Okay.
Specifically, Usinger brand sausage.
Oh, all right.
If there's anything that I've learned from Mr. fucking Norm McDonald, it's
that a lot from him.
You want to hang out with this guy
mm-hmm.
and you want to get inside stories from this guy.
Inside
stories.
And
I'm talking about the Uke.
Bob
Uecker.
Yeah.
He was at WrestleMania 4. He was at WrestleMania 3 before then.
Mm-hmm.
He was at WrestleMania 26.
Mr. Baseball.
I want to say.
Oh, no, wait.
2010.
That was
Tom
Selleck.
Well, they called him Mr. Baseball 2.
All right.
So we'll take it.
Mr. Baseball 2.
If you...
cool mask.
...aren't a fan of the old Letterman show or Norm Macdonald, do yourself a favor, bing it. It's one of Norm's like last appearances on Letterman before Letterman went off the air. And he's just talking about how he just hangs out with Bob Uecker regularly.
Oh, I wonder if Bob Uecker also has a gambling addiction and they probably gamble together a bunch, I bet.
The only reason he agreed to do WrestleMania 4 is because he was always already going to be at Trump Casino.
That makes a lot of sense, yeah. Definitely.
He's probably just paying off a debt to Donnie. That's why he agreed to do it. Norm goes on to tell these dumbass stories about hanging out on a golf course with Uecker.
In the Uecker.
Where Uke's like just nothing but a good time and just wants to tell him stories about hanging out with Mr. Belvedere.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, it took this long. We hadn't even mentioned also the star of Mr. Belvedere. This guy's got a lot of shit to talk about.
Now, Norm, we're running out of time, but I would be remiss here if I didn't bring up something. People have been bothering me about this for months and months. People come on the show and they say, the next time you see Norm Macdonald, he's got some tremendous stories about the great Bob Uecker. Now, do you have a story you can tell us about Bob Uecker? Voice of the Milwaukee Brewers.
Well, Bob Uecker is one of my best friends. He's a great man. I know Artie told a story when he was here, and Bob was not too thrilled with that. But
it's Artie Lang you're talking
Artie
about.
Artie Lang, yeah. But Bob is a very, very funny man, and I often go in the booth with him, you know.
Oh, sure.
So one time we were there, and John Fogerty was in the audience. Mm-hmm. You know, a fortunate son, you know. So John Fogerty was there. So Bob Uecker is a very interesting guy. He thinks of everybody as the same. He doesn't think of people as stars or anything like that. He's a very down-to-earth guy. So he was talking to me, and he says, "Hey, man, you know that guy?" I go, "Yeah." He goes, "That's John Fogerty, rock and roll singer." So I go, "Yeah, yeah, I know who it is." He goes, "Yeah, man." He goes, "But I played in a golf tournament with him." He goes, "You probably think of him as some that likes to bite the heads off of chickens, but this guy can."
That's exactly how I think of him.
This guy can get it out of the sand trap like nobody's. So he goes, "He's got a hell of a set of pipes on him." He goes, "Come the seventh inning stretch, I'll have him up here. He'll sing for you." So I said, no, Bob, don't do that. Like, don't have him come up and sing for me, please, you know. He goes, "What's the matter, man? Don't you even know who he is?" He got all mad. So I go, "Yes, Bob, I know who he is. He did Creedence Clearwater Revival."
Yeah.
He goes, "Yeah, he did all that."
Oh, my God. Oh, there you go. Now, listen. Yeah.
Like, he's just going to be like, "Hey, let me talk about that. At the time of
Kevin?
Belvedere and I are hanging out and we're eating all that fried cheese." That's great stuff, man. The Uke, he's just going to keep the laughs coming. And like I said, he brings Milwaukee's own Usinger brand sausage to your dinner party.
It's good sausage, Matt.
Some of the best.
I like, they got a lot of good fried cheese up there. You're right about that. Tons of beers. Beers everywhere.
Oh, baby.
You spend much time in Milwaukee?
I've spent plenty of time I'm going in September.
The thing I like about Milwaukee is essentially everything. The thing I don't like about Milwaukee that much, everybody's so fat, man. Like, you walk around, like, even when you're, like, in a hip neighborhood that's near, like, a college, you're just kind of like, where's all the hot chicks at?
Well, like, that's where you and I agree to disagree. We've touched base on this before.
Everyone I'm seeing is like a frumpy fucking Midwesterner.
Baby.
Chicago and Milwaukee, night and day as far as just looking at ladies walking around.
You know what bothers me?
Milwaukee's got to step up its hot chick game.
You know what bothers me?
What?
They don't say bag.
What do they say?
Bag.
Bag?
Yeah, you never noticed that?
That's fun. I like it. It's quirky.
If you're at, like, a restaurant, and you get, like, carry out, or, like, you get, like, a box, like, I didn't finish my meal because this is Milwaukee and these portions are gigantic.
Ridiculous.
They won't be like, "Do you want a box?" They'll just, like, straight up be like, "Do you need a bag?
Should I put it in a bag?
You need a bag?" That's a hard A you said right there.
Also, the whole idea of those Wisconsin man, old fashions where they crush up all the fruit at the bottom of it, and then they put brandy instead of rye in it, and then they top it with Sprite. Those are disgusting. Fucking Milwaukee
loves it.
You are disgusting.
Yeah. That's fair.
Yukes, good pick.
Thank you.
My number three is a legend, a true legend, a real eccentric, king of the weirdos, which makes him a real hero to me. That's Pee-wee Herman.
Oh, I thought you were going to go Steve Allen on me.
Pee-wee Herman appeared backstage at WrestleMania 27, I think it was. Mm-hmm. Something around there as far as all-time weirdo. Man's been around forever. He was arrested for jacking off in public. A lot of great stories about
been
that.
Been there, right, Fred
Guy's
Willard?
Guy's been all through entertainment. Just award shows, showing up on weird stuff. Like, you know he's got stories about everybody. Everybody
Herman,
in Hollywood has had a run with Pee-wee
Herman.
He's partied with fucking everyone.
You have a call at the front desk.
He had his own goddamn kid show that was like some sort of kitschy John Waters nightmare. There's got to be a bunch of great stories there. And you know he could pull that Pee-wee card anywhere he goes. Or just like he shows up and people are like, oh, fuck, it's Pee-wee. And then he's just going to be getting you free shit like the whole night.
Yeah.
Like, how many fucking plates of free meat do you think gets sent to you at a Brazilian steakhouse and you got Pee-wee there? Or, like, at least all the drinks are going to be on the house.
Oh,
he's going to be like, pop open a bottle of wine, like, whatever is your most expensive shit. And then he'll be like, on the house, Pee-wee.
What's your most expensive bottle?
I loved you when I was a kid. I love you now. It's my treat. Thank you for coming into our establishment.
Two things.
Sorry you got arrested for jacking off. That was bullshit, man. People go to porno
theaters
to jack off.
Like,
that's
come
like
on,
getting arrested for stealing Nikes that were left out in the open.
Oh,
it was entrapment.
It's disgusting. I tell you what,
it was bait.
Bait, bait. Two things I'm going to want to talk to Pee-wee about.
Uh-huh.
Number one, I'm going to want some inside stories from that scene where he's saving the pet shop that's on fire.
Oh, yeah.
You know there's like some fun stories there. You know there's some fun stories there.
It was a lot of fun to, I don't know, like talk about probably some weird shit with Tim Burton, too.
Oh, yeah.
What's up with that guy? I bet he's got some weird fetishes, right?
Well, one time he made me fuck Helena Bonham Carter in front of him.
Oh, yeah,
I could see that, Pee-wee. Yeah, I could see that. You think he lets you call him Pee-wee or you got to call him Paul?
Mr. Herman.
Paul! My legs! At number two, I'm probably just going to want to listen to that end theme from this kid's show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very soothing.
Like, it's very, like, calm, almost melancholy.
It's like that music that was playing when Robin Leach brought out the Winged Eagle title.
Yeah, I like that sound a lot. My number two. Here's where I start to go into business for myself. The first one, I was like,
I knew this was
coming.
It
wasn't going to take long. It's like, that's just a good pick. We're going to have a good time. Me, I'm going to turn this dinner into a business dinner right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you're going to say, oh, no, he wasn't in a WrestleMania. He was in a Royal Rumble. And to you, sir, I say, nay, because he was at a WrestleMania when he was inducted into a Hall of Fame.
Rightly
for their most prestigious Hall of the Hall of Fame.
That's
the celebrity wing.
It's impossible
and that was
to get in
there. 2011 at WrestleMania 27 when Drew, MF, and Carey, the Cleveland Kid, got inducted.
What kind of business are you doing with Drew Carey?
Well, I do believe I've mentioned it before. Mr. Carey can't be doing what he's doing right now forever. And one day, someone is going to have to replace him. And that, sir, is my dream job. I want, above all things, anything in my life, I want to host The Price is Right.
You don't think they're just going to get Diedrich Bader?
I tell you what I do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
No, man.
Okay, sorry.
No, not if I'm good friends with Drew and he's got all
sense.
That pull.
Outgoing guy like, puts in a good word for you.
Hey, I'm retiring, but...
I met this guy at a WrestleMania dinner.
He's a really good guy, Price is Right,
You know what you're going to have to do if you want to get in good with Drew Carey,
I'll
probably.
Suck his dick. That's fine, Nate. I'm not above that.
I don't know about that, but at least you're going to have to bond with him about his weird S&M shit, because very famously, I've heard a lot of people talk about the fact that Drew Carey has a whole sex dungeon in his house. Fucking whips and chains. I'm talking sex swings.
Nate.
So you're going to have to be like, yeah, Drew, I'll listen to all your stories about the weird shit you do in your sex swing.
Of course I will. You know me. I'm always talking weird sex stuff to people in public to make them uncomfortable.
Picture your weird big toe head with those
Clark
Kent glasses on it.
That.
Doing weird stuff.
You know I can work right through that.
Even though he's famous, probably very large ladies.
That'd be cool.
Well,
I feel like Drew and I got a lot to talk
actually,
about.
Actually, yeah, I think maybe you would. I'm starting to wonder why you and Drew Carey aren't friends already. It could be a perfect match. You could move to Cleveland.
Yeah, I'm not against it. Well, I'm pretty against it, but if it means getting the job, you can be my Rod Rowdy.
I got the voice for it, I'll tell you that much. That's good. For damn sure.
You got a number two?
Yes. It's about time we get some pussy at this sausage party.
Oh, you know what
I'm saying? No. Some buns for all these dogs. That's why I'm bringing in the guest timekeeper at WrestleMania 7. None other than Donald Trump's ex-wife, Marla Maples.
Ooh, his second wife.
So, ex-wife of the president, hates his guts.
That's a huge pick.
She's clearly just like Fliberty Digit.
Is this
like
going to affect your status in the TWO?
Middle-aged woman. So, you know what that means. You get a couple glasses of wine in her, the vault's open. She's spilling secrets, man.
One and a half.
Everything I'm doing here.
One and a half glasses. All that's about the number.
Pee-wee's going to get us that free bottle of wine. We're going to make sure she puts down one and a half, and then we're just going to start grilling her, dude.
Two and a half, and she's topless.
All the juicy secrets. What's all the illegal shit he's done? What's all the weird sex shit he's into? Yeah. Like, what makes him cry himself to sleep at night?
You guys did what Drew Carey's sex dungeon?
Because you know that he cries himself to sleep every night, probably, like, jerking off while Drew Carey sticks baseball bats up his wife's fucking assholes or something.
Wow. That was more graphic than I expected.
It's all happening. It's all going down. Marla Maples has seen shit. You know she's seen shit, and you know she wants to talk about it. And she's probably signed non-disclosure shit and, like, gotten, like, stipends every month or whatever. I think she wrote a tell-all, but you know there's shit she's sitting on that they're still paying her not to tell.
Yeah.
And we're going to get in there. We're going to dig in there, and we're going to find it. I'm going to know everything this fucking creepy weirdo's into.
Nice. Nice. I just hope it doesn't get you kicked out of the TWO.
Nah. It's just going to give me leverage for when the inevitable split happens and I have to start the TWO Wolfpack.
Wow. Don't turn your back on Nate's Wolfpack.
Might wind up in a body bag.
I don't think you can threaten a president like that, sir.
That
could be a whole other set of problems for you.
I was throwing that at Giuliani.
Okay, that's fair. He's nothing.
You know, Trump's disciple.
All right. Can I give you a peek behind the curtain here?
Oh, God, I don't know. You already talked about some weird shit.
We do this three count every week, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people might be surprised to hear that it's not really a real format. Like, these rankings?
Yeah?
They don't really hold a whole lot of value.
What are
sometimes.
You talking about?
You might be surprised to learn. Sometimes I pick my order in terms of comedy or where you might pick, you know?
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think we got to go back and redo them all then, because I've been taking this very seriously.
Nate, I'm going to tell you right now, this right here, this number one, is the most serious I've ever taken anything in my fucking life, okay?
Wow.
Because you gave me an opportunity
here. Let me sit
down. Right? You said we're having dinner, and I can have dinner with a person.
All meats, no greens.
And I told you, I got euchre out of the way, I'm officially going into business for myself, and this is one of the biggest pieces of business that's been on my agenda.
Aretha Franklin?
For the longest time. No. Something far more important. Pandora's box, Nate, that I've been trying to open to crack for the longest time. And I figured
it
out.
On me. I'm ready.
Nate, I figured it out.
Okay.
I'm making my way into the Disney Channel because I am inviting.
You're obsessed with people who have been on the Disney Channel.
I am inviting guest host of WrestleMania 24, 2008, Raven Simone.
Oh, famously of That's So Raven on the
Disney Channel.
That's going to be your end to meeting so many other Disney Channel
starlets. Yes, sir, buddy. We've always wanted to know how. This is it, dude. You get a Raven Simone at dinner, just got a charm of the pants off her.
You know she's got Cosby stories, man.
Well, duh.
First off, you know she's got Cosby stories.
Let's start there.
A lot of weird stuff had to have happened on that fucking set.
Yeah.
She saw some of it.
Yeah. What kind of weird shit did Rudy put up with?
Second off, you know, all those famous stories coming out of the filming of Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
Ah.
Like, everybody talks about the craziness on the Hanging with Mr. Cooper set.
Cooper. Oh, no, never knew how much I'd miss.
That's a different one.
Oh.
I just said you didn't get that right.
Oh, that's your opinion. Bob Evans. Sha-na-na-na. But you get a Raven Simone there. Well, first of all, she'll be down with the, if you're going Brazilian steakhouse, mm-hmm. she'll be down. You seen the size
that
of that
bitch
girl?
Has done some all meat meals.
Oh. Double entendre right there. She's going to sit down with you. You do it right, man. You're having a good time before you know it yet. She's going to be like, yeah, I don't feel uncomfortable giving you Brenda Song's phone number. No, it would be cool to introduce you to Selena Gomez.
Somebody told me Brenda Song was dating somebody.
It was the other night. What are we talking about? Who was it? I don't want to think about it because I've like, carried a torch for her for the longest
Brenda
time.
Brenda Song now. And I was like, what? Like, that guy?
She's driving
me crazy right now.
She was banging Miley Cyrus's brother, who's a complete scumbag.
Oh, I didn't even know she had a brother, but now I've got visions of total scumbags dancing through my head.
He's tall, lanky, dark hair, lots of tattoos. He's just... He's the worst. Oh, who's she dating now?
It's not going to come to me.
Yeah, it's going to come to me, and I'm going to be angry.
Yeah,
but either way,
Brenda Song, if she was from the Disney Channel, she might be my number one Disney Channel girl.
She's from the Disney Channel. She was on the Cody and Max, the twins.
I think Selena Gomez is still my number one in my heart.
That's fair.
She's always been my number one in my heart.
But this is also going to get you, there's the Machaca girls, there's the Panda Bakers, there's Lindsay Lohan. Oh, fucking Lizzie McGuire.
Ooh, the Duffster. Yeah. I'm big into her. She's got a lot of nice mom meat sitting on her these days.
Christy Carlson Romano.
Okay, yeah. I remember her from back in the day. She's a Canadian lass.
Yeah,
isn't she?
See that movie where she gets topless? The big old bolt-ons?
Yeah,
the
fucking
whew.
Mr. Skinned that shit years ago.
Scary.
Of course
looking.
I did.
But either way, man, this is your golden ticket right here.
Yeah, I think definitely you, over the course of a dinner, could convince Raven Simone to give up all of the phone numbers of underage girls that she's known over her life to. There's not going to be any problem.
Oh, you, buddy, I know how to talk to
people. Meats and wine's flowing? Like, come on.
I know how to talk to people.
People start getting loose-lipped.
You get another peewee bottle of booze going? Baby. You got a number one?
Yep. Real spunky chick. Gonna be real fun. You know she likes to have boozy dinners. You know she's gonna want to party afterwards. Bringing in the mistress of the dark, Elvira. Did some guest commentary at WrestleMania 2.
I had a feeling you might.
Old girl's gonna be able to talk to me about exploitation and horror movies all the live long day. You know, she's hosted a million of them. She's gotta have a lot of knowledge about this shit. She's a lot of fun. She looks super great. At like 70 years old or whatever she is. Super great, but like still is old enough to where I think I'm going to be able to bang her. I think like a 70-year-old chick would probably be like, yeah, I'd like to bang that guy. Sure, I'll do it. He's very young.
Yeah, he's in his mid-30s.
And I'm
going to
be like,
he's pretty fit. Yeah.
Hell yeah. Let's whip those Elvira titties out and make this shit happen. And like, we're like, later, Pee-wee. Like, we're go back to Elvira's hotel room. He's like, all right, I'm going to go. Over to this jerk-off theater. Ugh, yeah. Pee-wee, those don't exist anymore.
I have a feeling Pee-wee would be like, you mean I can't watch you have sex again, Elvira?
Yeah, that's
like, I feel
true.
Like he's watched her bang once.
I'm going to definitely be drawing up a lot of weird old stories.
Yeah.
All this intermingling of weird people, like Marla Maples. I don't know, has she ever did weird sex stuff with Pee-wee? Probably. Sure. Is it going to be awkward when they both show up to my table? Yeah. Could be. Like, Trump didn't pay him to come into his casino and do weird shit ever?
I want to say, I think you surprised me with the Marla Maples pick.
I need that Trump dirt.
The Elvira I get, but I really thought you would have worked on, what's the USA Up All Night hostess?
Oh, Rhonda Shear?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I felt like you would have worked her in
here. I feel like she could get on my nerves a little bit, maybe. Yeah, she's always on. I feel like when you get Elvira I thought a little bit about Alice Cooper because he's just a cool old guy. But then I was like, no, he's gonna want to talk about golf the whole time.
Especially
if
we're intermingling our dinners here, like you already have.
Yeah, we're probably gonna be at the next table.
And you know me, I'm always on. So like,
that's gonna be a lot to deal with.
You wouldn't want to deal with it.
I'm gonna be drained by the end of the night.
You understand? You're just kind of saddled with me at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But like,
I don't need a Rhonda Shear trying to shout over you, and then the two of you just like
just going
competing for attention. Oof. I gotta get my buddy Gilbert Godfrey on the line and tell him to come wrangle this bitch. Get her out of here.
Hello, I'd like an egg salad sandwich.
Then the night's over.
He's a good dude.
Gilbert's a guy you go to lunch with, though. You don't invite him to a boozy dinner.
Well, he's not gonna make it up that late.
You go have a nice lunch at a deli, and you guys talk about some fun stuff, and then the partying happens away from Gilbert.
Yeah, well, plus he's not gonna want to go to that like a high end dinner.
Oh no, definitely not.
I saw that wife swap he was on with Alan Thicke. He does not like to spend money.
Well, I know what I'm watching tonight.
Oh, if you can find it, I've just.
That's what Bing is for, Matt.
Yeah,
you can find anything these days.
Speaking of Macaulay Culkin. That's who Brenda sung.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We were talking about little kids who grow up weird looking. And then people were like, he's dating Brenda Song now. And I was like, what? Which Macaulay's pretty cool, so good on him.
I mean, you figure the shit he endured with Michael Jackson.
Means he was dating Mila Kunis and now Brenda Song. That's a lot of real hot Hollywood ladies.
That's pretty cool. Yeah,
he's doing great.
Yeah, he's doing really good.
Figured once he joined that pizza band, his life was over. But turns out
Nope, only getting started. We got big things going on next week.
Next week, Clash of the Champions, #1. We're going to be watching it and talking about it. Be there or be square.
Those things are still going on today, so, you know.
To this day.
Be a part of history, I guess.
Yeah, very first ever.
Baby oil and blow.